what's important is really to take to really grow your list on a constant basis and acquire new subscribers. But at the same time, it's very important to keep it fresh and keep it clean. So there is always a part of your list which is becoming inactive. So you should be cleaning the oldest contacts, but you should remain acquiring new ones, because sometimes the trap where businesses get into is that they are like happy about the size of current list, but this is really outdated. So it's really natural that that around 1/3 of the list becomes inactive in 12 months.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Rob and Kennedy from Response Suite and with Sean D'Souza of Psychotactics. Today, I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Rytus Loris. He's the co-founder and the CEO of Omnisend, which is an all-in-one e-commerce marketing automation platform that helps you sell more by converting your visitors and retaining your customers. Omnisend is quite unique in the marketing automation space in that it works with behavioral data to construct highly personalized messages and deliver that message across multiple channels. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Go check it out. It's free to join, and if you're a member already, just log in to get your resources. In our discussion today, Rytus talked to me about customer-centric marketing based on customer behavior. We talked about adapting your communications with customers based on where they are in their customer journey. And we talked about building customer feedback loops and deeply understanding customer needs as a core pillar of innovation. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Rytus Loris. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from London in the UK, Rytus Loris, who's the co-founder and CEO of Omnisend, which is an omni-channel marketing automation platform that's tailored for e-commerce. So welcome to the podcast, Rytus. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Hey, Jürgen. Really great pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting.
Now, omni-channel marketing allows you to send more personalized messages by adapting them to the customer as they move through their purchase journey, no matter what the channel. And Omnisend is a comprehensive SaaS solution that allows you to do that from a single platform. So I'm really looking forward to delving into all things omni-channel marketing with you today. But before we talk about all things marketing and customer journeys and where people are on that journey, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the key moments in that journey?
Yeah, that's always a journey. It's a really good term to define that. There's always a journey. So I have graduated political sciences, so nothing in common with either marketing or IT. And yeah. Both this business I'm currently running is a combination of marketing and like IT things. Yeah, but I have never worked by like my formal profession, as I have started my first business when I was, I guess, 22. So a friend invited me to do a thing, and at that time some feature phones were very popular, and we were creating screensavers for feature phones, like for Nokia was super popular at that time. So that's how my business started, and that's how some kind of, you know, technical touch, or like business with a technical touch, have started as well. After that, I was running digital marketing agency, and that's actually was the beginning of Omniscient. As a digital marketing agency is great. You are serving your customers, you are developing websites, doing marketing for them, including like email marketing and Facebook ads, etc. But it's not scalable. And that's how I met my co-founder, my current co-founder, and we saw that once serving our e-commerce customers, they had specific needs and specific opportunities to better automate marketing. So that has happened 5 years ago. We have launched a tool, Soundest at that time. So we have rebranded 1.5 year ago to Omniscient. So at that time, it was just easy to use email service tool with an automation really created for online stores, e-commerce businesses. So that was the beginning, with a promise that we are bringing like the easiest to use marketing automation or email marketing automation tool. But some of our customers were growing faster than we did, and they were like graduating us and looking for a bit more robust solution. So we saw that, we identified that, and we catched up by like capabilities, by the feature set, and now customers are staying much longer with us, and that's how we moved up market, really helping growing business to grow. It's one thing. Another thing, we really moved from email service provider to omnichannel marketing automation tool, which have no doubts this omnichannel thing is really a future, and I guess we can talk a bit more later on. And yeah, so that was, and of course our name has changed as well to reflect more, to better reflect what we are doing. So it's Omniscient now.
Okay, and I'm interested. You talked about transitioning or rebranding the digital marketing agency to Omniscient and pivoting the business because of scalability. Now, are you still doing websites or digital marketing directly for clients, one-on-one client work?
No. Now it's a purely SaaS business. So like pure play SaaS, we do sell in subscription model. So our customers are paying us every month for the usage.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a I think that's an ideal solution for small businesses to actually get to that position of scaling something to the product stage. And it sounds like you identified a need that wasn't fulfilled. And I'm curious as to how Omniscient is different to other marketing automation services, like something like Infusionsoft or Marketo or HubSpot or Entreport, for example.
Yeah, very good question. We have identified the specific need. So from the very beginning, and it's first differentiator, that we are focusing on online businesses. So initially it was e-commerce, now it's getting more and more commerce or online businesses. So any business which has transaction online, so we are serving those, we are helping. It's the first thing. Second thing is really we are data-driven. So still a lot of solutions in the market, like we call those generic ESPs, like email service providers, more like MailChimp or Infusionsoft you have mentioned. So on marketing side, they are just, you know, sending beautiful emails, but not data-driven emails, not that highly personalized, not that highly targeted. We are much more data-driven So it's second differentiator. Third is really omni-channel thing. So you can use different channels on the single flow to communicate with your existing customers. So it's including email, including SMS text messages, including Viber, WhatsApp, including web browser push notifications, and adding synchronization with your Google and Facebook ads. Yeah, so that's kind of three core differences. And when you have mentioned like Infusionsoft or like Marketo, so they are serving like Infusionsoft is really for beginning, and Marketo is already for more like corporate level customers. Yeah. And we are serving mostly like mid-market, fast-growing businesses for whom Infusionsoft is not good enough, but they don't have like internal analytics and internal entire department to really benefit from Marketo capabilities. So we're really enabling this mid-sized, fast-growing businesses to grow even faster.
Okay, so that you've touched a little bit there on the ideal customer. Can you kind of outline that a little bit more? Because I know your e-commerce marketing strategy that you've published in one of your recent blog posts starts very much with knowing the customer really well.
Yeah, absolutely. So ideal customer is the one which serves the customers purely online, and they do have like entire customer journey starts and continues. I don't want to say ends up because it's never ending, and therefore we are there to really help to retain customers and to make them come back more often. So so continues just online. So it enables really us and our customers to track a lot of data and empower the data and then really to make good things out of that, to personalize marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's something that I'm really keen on. And one of the things I think that tends to get lost sometimes in some of the marketing automation systems that are out there, which is the personalization aspect and actually the human aspect of marketing and, you know, continuing to build relationships with customers. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times the importance of the customer journey and building relationships and that customer retention. So what are some of the things that OmniSend has in place to do that?
Yeah, so absolutely correct. That we strongly believe that, you know, marketing should go from campaign based, campaign centric to customer centric. Once really based on customer behavior and triggers you have and his profile, which is usually on top of demographic profile, adding his behavioral profile, which is much more important than demographic data. Actually, it really enables to communicate with a customer with a relevant message on the relevant time, and we are adding through the relevant channel. So it really makes marketing activities more conversational, that customer doesn't feel that you are really broadcasting the same message for everyone and it's not relevant for me. It's being replaced with a feeling that, okay, so this is relevant for me, and this relevance aspect is super important, and that's what we are focusing on here at OmniSend, to really make marketing relevant.
Mm. And how do you do that? So let's say I go onto somebody's website and have a look at a number of products there, and maybe decide that I'm not quite ready to buy, so I leave that website. But do you track the visitors and track the activity and then follow up with specific things? If I've watched two products, follow up with more information about those two products?
Absolutely correct. One of the case you have mentioned, so it might be where and identifying like specific products which you were looking at, sending out more information or just some reminders or some special offers to do that, or maybe we are identifying the entire category that you were looking, let's say at a sports bike. Yeah, you're visiting a bike store, but you are not looking for a commuter bikes, but you're looking for a sport bike, a mountain bike, let's say. So we identify a category and we are automating marketing to offer you different options from that category. So maybe you were looking at one specific bike, but maybe there is something else what can interest you. So yeah, so it's kind of one of examples. Another example is once you have completed the purchase, we do automate some post-purchase activities, communication with you, asking for feedback, informing about the dispatched, about dispatch. So usually online stores, online businesses, they do that. So what do we offer really to add some marketing on top? Just not to make it intrusive, but one of example, let's say you are sending text message with information what we have dispatched, the product you have ordered, and just adding, a gentle promo by then. By the way, you have this promo code for our next purchase, which is valid for 3 months. And Omnisend is able to identify and check after 3 months if the customer have used this discount code. And if he did not, we start automated campaign to remind him that, hey man, you have a discount code here which is expiring in 1 week, so wouldn't you like to use it?
Okay. Yeah,
so a few examples.
Yeah, I'm interested whether you've got Omni Send working on one of the websites I visit, because I'm a keen bike rider. So maybe you're watching what I was doing.
Yeah. So, of course, there are some concerns in the market among some people, like about data privacy and how much data is it okay to collect, and how much data can be used. But of course, we are completely compliant with all the regulation, like worldwide. I've it's kind of the most strict nowadays, I would say, is European GDPR, which we are complying 100% with that. So definitely we are asking for consent to do those, like tracking, data analysis, etc. But in general, people are willing to exchange their private data and a little bit of their privacy to more relevant advertising. So that's what happens with a lot, vast majority of people. They are okay to give out their personal data if we promise, our customers promise to deliver really relevant promo messages to them, instead of bombarding with bulk campaigns and irrelevant content.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the GDPR regulations are really good in the sense it's brought some clarity into what information is collected and what the consumer can do then to either choose to participate in, signing up for a campaign or a newsletter and sharing their personal details, or how they can change their mind, or how they can prevent it from happening. So
that's completely really agree. Completely agree. It really clarifies things. And what has happened after GDPR came into power, especially among European customers, that open rates and the size of the database they operate in have shrinked a lot, but sales they did not. So what does that show? That really this part of your database you own, your subscribers, either it's email subscribers or like text message subscribers or Facebook Messenger subscribers or push notification subscribers. So you always have some piece of your database which is active, and you're communicating with those, and they're the most retaining, and they are generating vast majority of the revenue from those marketing activities. And having huge inactive database is not the value at all. So yeah, after your databases has shrinked, but sales from those channels did not. So that's really good.
And it's funny because a lot of businesses, and there's still a lot of talk on the internet, you read some blog posts and so on, talking about the size of your list. And a lot of businesses are really keen to grow their list at all costs, and there's courses being sold, you know, how to grow your list, by 1,000% in 2 weeks or something, and challenges, we'll do that challenge for you. And I keep thinking, well, you know, that's not going to get you a good quality list, and all it does is end up costing you a lot more money because, and I'm not sure whether Omnisend runs this model. I assume you probably do. The size of your list determines the plan you're on and the cost. So,
Completely agree. Yeah, we do have the same model. And you know, what's important is really to take really grow your list on constant basis and acquire new subscribers. But at the same time, it's very important to keep it fresh and keep it clean. Mm-hmm. So there is always a part of your list which is becoming inactive. So you should be cleaning the oldest contacts, but you should remain acquiring new ones, because sometimes the trap where businesses get into is that they are like happy about their size of current list, but this is really outdated. So it's really natural that that around 1/3 of the list becomes inactive in 12 months. For various reasons, either like people are, you know, changing their inboxes, you start getting into spam folder, which sometimes happens because now like the largest providers like Gmail or Yahoo, vandalizing on personal level. And if the subscriber is not interacting with let's say email, so those emails start going to like spam folder, or the worst thing is that people are still receiving your marketing messages, but they are just ignoring those. They do not unsubscribe. I guess you have some you know brands for which you are still subscribing because you are kind of okay with that brand. I mean, sometimes you read those like emails or whatever push notifications, like, you know, once per year or so, but it's really difficult to convert you into real like buyer as you behave. So,
Yeah, that's, I guess there's a couple of tests in my mind. One of the tests from the person delivering the information is how useful is that information to the target audience, and if the target audience feel that it's useful information, they'll stay subscribed. And as long as you've got ways, and I'd love to explore this with you some more, ways to get engagement out of delivering that information, which, you know, it may be a purchase, but it may be an intermediate engagement step that leads to a purchase. That is a way to keep that list active, and then, as you say, continuing to grow the list with the right leads, because there will be a turnover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's deliver. So the golden rule here is really deliver what you promise. So sometimes companies, you know, they just want to grow the list, and they do some campaigns with a prize, let's say iPad. And you are selling shoes, and you are giving iPads. So it's like, you know, no relevancy, and you just collect so many people who are interested in iPad, but they are not interested in buying your shoes. So yeah, that's okay to run some campaigns to collect subscribers and to acquire new ones. But if you're giving out some prize or some incentive, it should be related to with your business. So that's how you're going to get really relevant people to your mailing list.
Mm, yeah, that's a great example. And I have seen things like that, which always makes me wonder, what are they selling, shoes or iPads?
Yeah, yeah. That's correct.
All right. So I guess talk us through a little bit your e-commerce marketing strategy. I know you've published lots of quite long form blog posts that are very informative, and one of those that really caught my attention was the whole idea of the strategy. So I'm interested in how that all plays out, and I know it's kind of based on a customer journey map, if you like. Yeah. and also how, you know, where the omnichannel part comes into that.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, glad that you like our blog posts. We really try to deliver relevant content and interesting content for our customers and not even our customers. So so here at Omnisend, we believe that the customer journey is very important. As I have already mentioned at the very beginning, as customer centricity is very important, and customer journey really helps to interact with a customer at the different stages of the life cycle. So we believe that there are five key stages of a customer journey, like e-commerce customer journey. So the first one is really once it's a visitor, so anonymous person visiting our store or our website. We don't have any data about that visitor yet. And how Omnisend helps here, really, we do help to convert those visitors into subscribers. And what's important here, like omnichannel approach, that the word subscriber, it really in usually stands for email subscribers in our mind. So we really want to broaden this, and we're saying that, okay, subscriber, it might be like email subscriber, might be like Viber or WhatsApp subscriber, might be push notification subscriber, might be Facebook Messenger subscriber. So you can get a lot of different consents to communicate via different channels, and the person, the visitor, you are offering to really pick the best channel and the most preferred channel for the visitor. So we do help here, once we do have some consents, so the customer is being, or like visitors is being moved to a subscriber, where we really need to introduce what our business is about, and we help our customers to introduce their business, like welcome campaigns, some maybe synchronizing and creating like a separate segment, like to run retargeting ads on Google and Facebook platforms, but just very specific ads, like welcoming ads, you know, not promoting specific product yet, because we don't have that data yet. And and the first stage we really help to deal with is the first stage is shopper. So once the customer is already proactively looking for some specific product, or maybe at some specific category, as we have already talked with you that, okay, you are browsing, let's say, mountain bikes, and we are able to identify that your organization is interested in mountain bikes, and therefore we can run campaigns via email, via push notification messages to introducing different products in that category, and maybe giving some incentive to do that. And that's how we move into fourth category. So it's buying customers. So it's the customer who did a first purchase from your online store. And here we help to really follow up things. So sending starting from like transactional emails, purely transactional emails about that we have received your order, we have dispatched things, and following by customer satisfaction surveys, let's say, a very good example how you can make your customers happy. So really get the real feedback of your customers, let's say, you know, sending 1 week after you have delivered the product. So asking, so how did you like the product? How did you like our service? And again, you can do it via like email only, but you do not reach all the customers, but you can use, let's say, text messages for that, sending an SMS and asking one simple question, did you like it or did you not? If the customer is like somehow negative about experience he had with interacting with your brand, with your online store, with the product you have delivered, so this is a great opportunity to really, you know, pick up the phone and call him. And to convert an unhappy customer into a happy one, to ask what's wrong, how can you maybe, you know, make his or her experience better. And yeah, so that's where he come to a fifth stage. It's really retaining customer or repeat buyer. So the customer which is constantly coming back to purchase again and again, and it's constantly interacting with your brand, visiting you time to time. So we can apply different techniques again, sending some customer reactivation campaigns. Let's say one of example that we like Omniscient identifies the natural like buying cycle. Let's say it's 3 months on the online store. So if we identify that this specific person has not purchased for already 4 months, so maybe we should start running automated customer reactivation campaigns through different channels, and even showing Google and Facebook ads for that specific customer in order to reactivate them. Yeah, so those are kind of five stages of a customer life journey, which we really believe that they exist, and you should apply a bit different techniques to serve those stages. And all of those techniques are in place at Omniscient.
Mm. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering how you talked about segmentation. How does the segmentation happen, particularly early on when you don't have a lot of data? Is that built into the information that you gather when people sign up?
Yes. So it might be based on that information, or it might be, again, if behavioral based. So yeah. The segment, the new customer is already a segment. You should treat him a little bit different to returning customers. So your goal at once the customer is in that segment is really to convert for a first purchase. So maybe applying more aggressive like discounting techniques, or like free delivery techniques, or like 100% satisfaction guarantee techniques. So really to make her or him feel safe to try to buy from you. It's kind of, you know, very, very basic, but very good example of a segment. Once the customer starts coming back to you, and the one is interested in some specific products or so, you can move it to a different segment. Let's, you know, something. Or the segment can be, for example, the one which was visiting our website quite often, but we have not seen for 2 weeks. So this is again a great example of a segment. This is not a demographical data which you collect on a sign up process, let's say, but this is behavioral data, which is more actually accurate, and which using this behavioral data is much more effective, as really creates a real relevance based on customer behavior.
Yeah, that's great. That's very powerful. One of the things that Omniscient does is automation workflows. So how easy is it to set up an automation workflow, and what's a good example? I mean, I think you've probably highlighted one through the customer journey, but something simple, for example.
So it's really, we do really make super easy to start, as we have pre-built the most popular workflows. So examples are welcome campaign, abundant cart reminder, or like category reminder campaign, or customer feedback campaign, or customer reactivation campaign. So the most popular through our customers, and as far as you know, like in general, it's really abundant cart reminder. And it still is super effective. It generates a lot of sales, which is the most important for all online businesses. Another highly effective workflows are custom-made workflows. So again, at Omniscient, you can start with those pre-built, but you can customize them, or you can make your own workflows. So those are really like getting the best results, because they are always done by the specific of the business. So just a couple of examples. So one of our customers, they are selling cakes. So they do customer reactivation campaigns once per year, because they know that Jürgen has bought a cake. So there's a huge probability that after, let's say, 340 days, the same occasion gonna be approaching.
Yeah.
So might be your birthday, might be whatever, your wedding anniversary, whatever is the occasion. But so it's, again, it's super effective, like in this situation. Or let's say another example, like our customers who let's say sell holiday packages. So for them, it's super important to send some reminders to remind that the holiday is approaching, because people are purchasing those packages sometimes in advance, you know, half a year in advance. So they're really keen in having and creating the best customer experience, and just sending some reminders, some tips that, okay, your holiday is approaching. So here is some information about the country you are visiting. Here is some information about the flight which is upcoming, etc. So those custom workflows, they are usually the most effective, because they really reflect the needs of the business and of customers of that specific business.
Yeah, and that's a really good example, because it it's about delivering customer service post-purchase, and in a way that, you know, you can automate but yet still have highly personalized, and I think it adds huge value to that sort of purchase. So it's
absolutely, you just need to be creative here. Like So post purchase, sometimes people think that, okay, this post purchase experience is just for the customer, which is right, but you can add, let's say, referral program on top. So even though the customer is still waiting, let's say, for a holiday to come, but you can already involve the customer into your promotion activities, like, you know, asking to share a referral code, and if he's happy about overall experience, so maybe he would share the code. Maybe he would invite his friend to come along, and, you know, sharing a discount code with a friend. So just, you know, you need to be creative how to sell without selling.
Yeah. Or the other thing that came to mind there was around partnerships with other businesses. So, you know, it's 6 weeks to your forthcoming vacation. Do you have all your luggage needs sorted? You're heading from winter into summer. Do you have all your clothing requirements? Yeah, and there's
great example
there.
Great example.
Mm. All right, this is fascinating, Ritas. I'm really enjoying the conversation, and it's really sounds like OmniSend is a really powerful tool where, you know, the intersection of that automation and getting leverage through technology, but at the same time having it very personalized in terms of the customer experience is occurring with that tool. So it's really fascinating to hear. I'm respectful of your time, though, so I think it's time we moved on to our general questions of the buzz, which is the innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. And, you know, you've got a background in setting up a digital marketing agency and then pivoting that business to a SaaS business, so I'm really interested to hear your take on these questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So what do you think is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Yeah, because, you know, I know, because those are questions which you're asking for, like, everyone who's attending your podcast. So yeah. I would say number one thing is really to create a culture of innovation. It's the only way to go. If there is a culture of innovation inside the organization, so it's much easier to do things and to really innovate. So I would say that.
Okay. And of course, creating a culture of innovation, that asking the question, how do you do that, is probably opening up a really big topic. But that's something I think that needs to be in place from the founders right through the organization at the beginning.
So that's absolutely broad topic, but I would say the key thing, the culture of innovation, is really to the tolerance to failure. If like it, which is coming like for founders from management, if you are tolerating failures and people do know that it's okay to try things and to make errors and to make failures, so it's much easier to create that culture of innovation. I guess it's impossible to create culture of innovation without tolerating a lot of failures and a lot of, you know, errors while you're trying new things.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. Having the ability to test things without fear of the repercussion. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
So I would say like manage to create the culture of innovation. No, I really strongly believe that it's a fundamental thing. So everything else really goes on top and everything else is details, but that's the core.
Mm. Yeah, well, of course, it sounds to me from our conversation so far that, you know, when you were in the digital agency, you discovered there was a need there that was unfulfilled and then set about fulfilling that need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true as well.
Mm.
And then really talking to your customers and Googling Google Trends or keyword analysis, it really helps to estimate some upcoming trends. Because I really believe that there are two kind of innovations. One is when you create something super new, which might be the way to a unicorn, but it's really risky because you might be just too early. And there are so many examples in the market when the product was just launched too early, and after a decade, relaunch by a different company of the same product became like tremendously successful. So it's one thing, and another way of innovating is really trying to follow upcoming trends, like for example in our case, omnichannel. When we came up with idea, we saw that commerce is really moving, and entire retail is really moving towards omnichannel direction, that you will be able to purchase like from offline store, from online store, from like social media, etc. But marketing was not really following at that time, and we kind of had a strong belief that if the marketing is going that direction, so the marketing should be following that. So that's a way to really identify trends and then innovate based on those upcoming trends.
Mm. Yeah, that's good advice. So do some good research as well as having the innovation culture in place. What's one of the resources, apart from OmniSend, what's one of the resources you use most often?
So that's a difficult question. So we do use a lot of tools, different tools, and there is no specific resource which is kind of mostly related with innovation. I would say like a customer feedback loop is very important. So having this incremental and like agile culture that you are innovating and improving things like on evolution way, not revolution way. So I would say this like agile technique is the key tool which really helps us to not to waste time on innovating things which finally we find out that nobody needs those.
Mm-hmm.
And in opposite, really being able to test the craziest ideas and to see that they do work, and then you double down on them.
Yeah. Well, that's consistent with what you said earlier about talking to customers. So getting the customer feedback and having that loop to test ideas very early and have that agile development. What's the best way to keep a project on track?
Constant feedback, I would say. It's really more, I would say, at least from my experience and the previous in agency and creating building a product, so it's really like constant feedback and updates, which are not like that long, but they are happening on like constant basis, either like daily or weekly basis, etc. So not to leave to be able to identify if something is wrong. So earlier you identify, more time you have to make adjustments, more make corrections, either in the roadmap or on the scope or something like this. So yeah, just, you know, to identify risks and problems as soon as you can.
Hmm. Right. Thanks for that. And what's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Listen to their customer needs and to reflect them. I would say that's the most important thing.
Yeah, there's a definite theme there, right, about customer needs, and I think that's reflected in the product itself. So I love it.
Yeah, in product and in your marketing, in wording you use, let's say once, as I have already mentioned, we have rebranded and we have moved up market. So one of things, what was very important at that time, so really to change the vocabulary we are using. Because once you are serving like really beginners, which are not marketers by themselves, and it's usually like one man show. So you are using more, more generic vocabulary in order for them to understand. Once you start working with like professional marketers, you need to use more slang to really reflect how do they talk about things themselves. So again, talking to them really helps to understand what language to use, what product to create, and what problems do they have. So I guess really the best differentiator is really the value you create for the customer.
Mm, that's great. I like that. What the value you create for the customer. Okay, so this has been fabulous, Ritas. I really appreciate your time and the insights that you'd shared with us. So where can people find out more about OmniSend and maybe even reach out and get in touch?
So definitely online. So omnisend.com is our website. And so that's probably the primary source for OmniSend. And you can drop me a message, an email. I use email a lot. So ritas@omnisend.com or LinkedIn. This is my preferred social network. I use LinkedIn a lot, so definitely find me there. Invite to connect, and I gladly connect and keep relationship with like-minded people, innovators and founders, and you know,
great
agencies.
Well, we'll include all the links in the show notes for the episode so people can click straight through and get in touch. Now, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner that wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
So I would say, again, I have already said that a couple of times, but again, talk to your customers, listen to your customers and reflect, find their pain and help to solve that pain. I would say that's the most important thing.
Yeah. All right. There's definitely a strong theme there that we can highlight. And it's one that is close to my heart too. So I really appreciate you bringing that forward so strongly. And also, you know, I can see that in all of the information online about OmniSend that is coming through. So you're certainly doing a good job of projecting that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Finally, then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
So I would say Andrus Purde. He is a former chief marketing officer of Skype and Pipedrive, which is really a fast-growing CRM and a crowded CRM market. And now he's running his own startup, OutFunnel. So he's a really interesting person. He's really like a marketing pro, and it's always very interesting to talk to him and to hear his insights. So that's the reason I would recommend him.
Okay, I appreciate that. We'll get an introduction to Andrus from you and see if we can get him on the podcast as well.
Yeah, gladly introduce.
Excellent. Thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today. I've really enjoyed this. There's been a very strong message of focus on the customer, get feedback from the customers and make sure you understand your customers' needs and what you can help them fill in those needs. So look forward to seeing where OmniSend goes in the future, and I wish you all the best, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you, Jürgen. Thanks for hosting me. Really been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks. I hope you enjoyed that engaging and informative conversation with Rytus, and, like me, learnt a lot from what he shared. What I particularly liked were Rytus' consistent message about talking to and listening to customers, and that your differentiation is the value you provide your customers. I'd love to know what you took away from Rytus' episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/OmniSend. That is OmniSend, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/OmniSend. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Rytus there, as well as links to the OmniSend website, as well as the other resources we spoke about in the interview. Rytus suggested we interview Andras Purdy of OutFunnel on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Andras, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Rytus Loris. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where each episode will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. Tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Glenn Fisher of The Art of the Click and Zach Marino and Rockwell Felder of Squadcast. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.